All right. Good morning, everyone. Let's begin. So, as I alluded to last week, although this segment is always reserved for Perek Shira, being that we find ourselves on Erev Lag BaOmer, we find ourselves on Lev BaOmer. So it behooves us to spend a little bit of time speaking about this incredible and important day. So I want to try to develop a little bit of a theme. There are many, I want to begin by saying there is no one dimension to Lag BaOmer. Because the truth is, as all of us know, there's no one dimension to anything in Yiddishkeit. Part of the beauty of our religion is the fact that everything we have and everything we do is so multifaceted. That's why, again, it's an amazing thing. You could observe the same Yom Tov year after year after year, but yet again, every year Pesach means something different to you. Why? Because you're experiencing another dimension based on the circumstances of your life. Just like every Shabbos is beautiful, yet every Shabbos we relate to in a different way depending on the events of that past week. Lag BaOmer is a multifaceted day. What you're going to try to focus on a little bit today is one of those dimensions. But one shouldn't think that we're going to capture the entirety of the essence of this day. But let's begin with number one. Right, the Shulchan Aruch. Noagim shlo lehistapra lag BaOmer. So Shulchan Aruch begins with a very technical or mechanistic detail, which is we have the custom not to go ahead and take haircuts until Lag BaOmer. Why? What happened Lag BaOmer? What's unique about Lag BaOmer? Sha'omrim sha'az pasku lomus. That ultimately, again, we know that the mourning practices of Sfira, remember again, the Sfira itself, when one looks at it in the Chumash, has absolutely nothing to do with mourning, nothing to do with Avelus. The concept of Sfira, as it appears, we just read this in last week's Parsha, is a very simple idea. It's a count between Pesach and Shavuos. Why is there a count between Pesach and Shavuos? To remind us that redemption, Exodus, leaving Egypt was not an ends, it was a means to arrive at Har Sinai. Pesach is only meaningful because it ultimately results in a Na'aseh V'Nishma, in an acceptance of Torah, of a real connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The concept of Sfira having a layer of Avelos, of mourning, comes much later on in history, where the Gemar Masechet Yevamos tells us, as you know, the story of the death of the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. The Gemar makes a very cryptic statement. Why did 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva die? Mipnei shelo nahagu kavod zeh lazeh. They did not properly honor one another. It's not our topic right now to understand what that means, but one thing is clear, which is it certainly means more than just the simple translation of the words. Something happened. There was a breakdown in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Akiva. 24,000 Talmidim died. When do these Talmidim die? The Gemara says, Bein Pesach La'atzeres. In between Pesach and Shavuos, I think there should be extra sheets in the back if anyone needs. Between Pesach and Shavuos, that is when the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died. That's when, so you understand, when does Rabbi Akiva live? Rabbi Akiva, Second Temple era, the end of the Second Temple era. Again, Rabbi Akiva rises to prominence before the Bar Kokhba Rebellion, during the Bar Kokhba Rebellion. So again, the 100 years or so right around Churban, post-Churban, is when Rabbi Akiva rises to prominence. So which tells you that again, for many, many, many generations, the Sfira had nothing to do with mourning. It's only when Rabbi Akiva's students died, that's when it becomes layered with an element of mourning. So says the Shulchan Aruch, we observe mourning practices, you know, whether you observe first half or second half, so everyone is observing that same period between Rosh Chodesh and Lag BaOmer. Comes Lag BaOmer, says the Shulchan Aruch, we go ahead and we can take haircuts, the restrictions are relaxed. Why? Sha'omrim sha'az paskum milamos. Because we have a tradition. And in fact, that tradition is quoted in number two. The Me'iri quotes from the Geonim, Shem b'yom lamed gimel la'omer paska hamisa. On the 33rd day of the Omer, that's when Rabbi Akiva's students died, stopped dying. But it's important to say, why did they stop dying? Because there was no one left. So just understand, it's not the pshat that like the plague stopped and phew, there was no one left. Those 24, remember, how does the Gemara, I should have put the Gemara on your piece of paper here, on the sheet. Remember, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva's students died, 24,000. And the Lashon of the Gemara is, V'haya ha'olam shamem. The world was desolate. The Torah world was decimated. Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 Talmidim were the future of the Mesorah, the future of the Rabbanos, the future of Jewish leadership. The world was desolate. The Gemara says Rabbi Akiva then went on and found new Talmidim. So they stopped dying because at the end of the day they had all died out by Lag BaOmer. That was it. So therefore, says the Shulchan Aruch, that's why our mourning practice has effectively come to an end at Lag BaOmer. Comes along the Ramah, and the Ramah makes a very cryptic statement. Umarbim bo kitzas simcha. And we go and we observe a little bit of simcha. Right, we go ahead and we have a little bit of simcha Lag BaOmer, vein omrim bo tachanun, we leave out tachanun, which is the supplicatory prayer that speaks of times of distress. And this Ramah always intrigued me. What does that mean? Umarbim bo, only Jews could talk like this, right? Umarbim bo kitzas simcha. You should be a little happy. Now, don't be too happy, because that's not good, but don't be too sad, right? So you can't mourn, but you can't be really happy. You only have the marbin bo kitsas simcha. You should intensify your simcha a little bit. First of all, what does that mean? How do you measure it? And remember, halacha, what's the beauty of halacha? You see, people often lose understanding what halacha is. Halacha is a series of do's and don'ts, that's absolutely. But halacha teaches us about creating frameworks for life. What halacha tells us is something is mutter, something is asr. In life, it's good to have boundaries. It's good to have a framework to operate inside of. Framework and boundaries give your life definition. Give your life, ultimately, again, a more strategic outlook, or give you a more strategic outlook on life. This is such an ambiguous statement. Umar bin bo kitsas simcha. We increase our simcha a little bit. What does that mean? And on a more fundamental issue, where does the simcha derive from? Right? This is the real fundamental question I want to focus on, which is, I'm still not clear, where does the kitsas simcha, even a little bit of simcha, whatever that means, where does that derive from? What is that a result of? So you'd be tempted to say, the simple answer is what? Rabbi Akiva's students stopped dying. So I understand if you would tell me that the mourning restrictions end at Lag BaOmer. That I understand. The mourning restrictions end on Lag BaOmer because Rabbi Akiva's students stopped dying on Lag BaOmer. Okay, cessation of all avelos, of all mourning-related practices. But the cessation of the death of Rabbi Akiva's students does not translate into Marbim Bo Kitsas Simcha. Marbim Bo Kitsas Simcha has to mean what? That what happened? Something good, something positive. You see, you have to understand something, and this is exceptionally important. It's true, Rabbi Akiva's students stopped dying on Lag BaOmer. But what about the broken mishpachos? What about the widows? What about the orphans? Do you think Rabbi Akiva was not tending to them in the aftermath of this horrific tragedy? Of course he was. I guarantee you that picking up the pieces after this tragedy occupied the bulk of the remainder of Rabbi Akiva's life. And just because they stopped dying on Lag BaOmer, no one breathed, wow, Baruch Hashem, the worst is behind us. No, the worst is not behind us. The worst is not behind us, because picking up those pieces sometimes is even worse than dealing with the tragedy of loss itself. So where does the simcha come from? So two fundamental questions are going to focus on today. Number one, where does the simcha of Lag BaOmer come from? And number two, why does the Ramah use such cryptic wording of Marbim Bo Kitsas Simcha? Either I do have obligation of simcha, or there's no simcha. What do you mean kitsas? So I want to share with you an incredible idea. If you look at number three, there's another dimension of Lag BaOmer that we know that has nothing to do with Rabbi Akiva's students. It has to do with Rabbi Akiva. It's amazing, by the way, not our topic for today. Rabbi Akiva is inextricably linked with Lag BaOmer, as you're going to see in just a moment. But there's another dimension of Lag BaOmer. Take a look at number three. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, Omrim Shenestalik B'Yomzeh. We have a tradition that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the great Tana Rashbi, left this world on Lag BaOmer. Just the reason I say Rabbi Akiva is linked is because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was one of the students of Rabbi Akiva. He was one of the new students. He was one of the new five who came on board after the 24,000 died. So Rabbi Akiva, so Rashbi was also Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, again, our Masorah tells us that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai died on Lag BaOmer. Okay, it's his yard site. That's fine. But still, why does that go ahead and make it into a yomtiv? You know, this is an interesting idea. Yartzeit has this duality to it, right? This often depends on what circles you travel in, right? In more litvisha circles, so the Yartzeit is often a more somber day. In Hasidic circles, a Yartzeit takes on a bit more of almost a yomtiv. And again, it has to do with who you're relating to. Is the Yartzeit a day in which I mark my loss? In which case, again, yes, it's somber. Or is it a day when I celebrate the fact that I believe that the neshama has gone higher and higher in Gan Eden? In which case, there's actually a cause for some degree of celebration. But in any... So, it's Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's yard. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, a student of Rabbi Akiva, just to give you the historical context, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was constantly having problems with the Romans. That's why, you know, the most famous Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai story is... Okay, the not-so-famous story of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is... Right, the cave. Right, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai spends a very, 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 very long time in a cave with his son, Rabbi Elazar. How does he wind up in a cave? Because he spoke negatively about the Romans. The Romans put a bounty on his head, and he had to go into hiding. So therefore, again, writes the Aruch HaShulchan, the reason why Lag BaOmer is such a unique and special day is because it is the Yartzeit, the anniversary of the death of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So I want to show you something amazing. If you take a look at number 5, the Gemara quotes an amazing statement. Amar Chizkiya Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Mishum Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. So the following was a statement by Rashbi. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says as follows. Yochol ani liftar es kol ha'olam kula min adin. Miyob shenivresi adato. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, I have the ability, literally translated, to go ahead and free the entire world of judgment from the day that I was created until now. So what Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai sounds like he's saying is, I possess enough personal righteousness to carry the weight of collective sin, to carry the weight of the averas of mankind. I myself, through my tzidkus, through my righteousness, have the ability to exempt mankind from their iniquity because of my zechuyos. The Gemara actually goes on. There's much more to this Gemara. So you say to yourself, wow, that sounds so arrogant. So understand, this is very important. People think that humility means I'm a shmata, the son of a shmata, the grandson of a shmata. I'll never be anything more than a shmata, not even a nice shmata, you shmata. That's not humility. That's lack of self-worth and quite possibly clinical depression. Right? What humility means is, I know who I am, but I also know that I can be so much more. The example of that is, who's the paradigmatic example of humility? Moshe Rabbeinu. So I wanted to just point something out. Remember again, Klal Yisrael builds the golden calf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to go ahead, and the severest of severe sins, nothing more severe than that. And like, there's no like, limud zchus, well, maybe they didn't mean it, maybe they did this. So God says, I'm going to destroy Klal Yisrael. Remember again, what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Moshe says, if you do that, I'm out. If you do that, then erase me. I don't want to have anything to do with you. If at the end of the day you are going to destroy these people, that is not a very humble response. That is a strong response. It's not like Moshe says, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, they didn't, maybe they meant like this, maybe they meant like that, the calendars were off, they didn't sync, whatever it is. He gives God an ultimatum. He gives God an ultimatum. Either you forgive them, or I'm done with you. That's what Moshe says to God. I'm done with you. I don't want any part of your Torah. I don't want any part of you. So that's humble? That's humility? And the answer is yes. Moshe Rabbeinu knew who he was. He knew what he had accomplished. He knew the strength he possessed. He knew the qualities and characteristics he possessed. Humility means, as great as I am, I know I can be and should be greater. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai is making a statement. His statement is, I know who I am. And I know that if you take my zechuyos, my merits can offset the sins of humanity. My merits by themselves, I know what I've given for God and to God. I know what I've given for and to my people. And because I know that, I am confident in the ability of my zechuyos, of my merits, to offset the iniquity of the world. That's amazing by itself. But it gets more amazing. Take a look at number 6. The Be'er HaChaim writes as follows. Get ready for this. U'me'achar shebechol shana b'shana, b'yom ha'hilula dilei, mis'orer kocho u'zuchuso d'rashbi. Therefore, says the Be'er HaChaim, what happens every year on Lag Ba'omer? What happens every year on Lag Ba'omer, the yard site of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, is that the koach of Rashbi is awakened. The koach of Rashbi is awakened. Liftar es ha'olam min hadin. That koach of Rashbi, to go ahead and allow his zechuyos to wipe out the collective sin of Klal Yisrael, that koach, that power, is awakened on Lag Ba'Omer. Look what he writes. Azai miskaprim avonoseim shel Yisrael. Lag Ba'Omer is a day in which the sins of the Jewish people are forgiven. Why? In the merit of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Umameila zochim, sheyiskablu tachanuneihem baratz lefnei Adon Kol. And since it is a day in which Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's merit goes ahead and offsets the sins of Klal Yisrael, it is a day that is auspicious for forgiveness, and a day in which it is incredibly auspicious to daven. Daven for your needs. Petition God for your needs. The heavens are open and we have been forgiven. So this is dramatically amazing. And it's dramatically amazing because you do not see this dynamic with any other one of the other Tanaim. Remember, thank God, we are a people with many, many, many tzaddikim. I'll point that for example. No one says it's by Zayin Adar. Right? Zayin Adar, we have the tradition that it's Moshe Rabbeinu's yard site. No one says that on Zayin Adar, all of our Averus are forgiven. No, I shouldn't say no one says it. Maybe someone says it. I've never seen anyone make that comment. I've never seen on any of the other great yard sites of the Masoras that we have for our great people that someone says, oh, today is a day that is, right? The only other time we think about a day that has the ability to affect forgiveness for our sins is when? Yom Kippur. So you see that in the words of Chazal, that ultimately, again, the power of Lag Ba'Omer, the Yartzeit of Rashbi, almost has Yom Kippur-like qualities. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was the one who said when he was alive, I have enough merits to neutralize the sins of Klal Yisrael. And therefore it says, the Be'er HaChaim, every year on Lag Ba'Omer, Hilula de Rashbi, the Yartzeit of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, his merit is awakened, and in that merit, the sins of Klal Yisrael are erased, a day that is ripe for supplication, prayer, petitioning God for our needs. So what does this mean? What does this mean? I mean, just on a simple level, what does this mean? Where does this koach come from? And I'll tell you why it's also interesting. In Judaism, we do not believe, well, we should say, we believe there is no such thing as a free lunch. Right? What that means is, if you want something, you must work for it. Right? If you notice, again, one of the interesting things that we have in our religion is, although many of us would love it, like we have no concept of confession. Right? What do I mean by that? I mean, we don't have the concept of showing up, right, confessing your sins, and someone says, okay, and then you're forgiven. We have tshuva, but tshuva requires an incredible amount of work. Tshuva requires effort. And in fact, the Rambam says, what is a Baal Tshuva Gimura? What's a Baal Tshuva Gimura? Who is considered to be the ultimate Baal Tshuva? Someone who sinned is faced with the same circumstances, but this time does not sin. And in fact, the Gerab of the Sasemis comments, he says, you see that in the realm of tshuva is not complete until you are once again tested in the same exact way. We don't go looking for that test. We don't ask God for that test. But your tshuva cycle is not complete until you're again in the same situation. And this time you make a different decision. So the notion that Lag BaOmer comes along and the merit of Rashbi wipes out everything, even by Yom Kippur. Does Yom Kippur, the day itself, erase your sins? It does, but only some of them. The Rambam writes that Itzumo Shalom Mechaper, the day itself has the ability to go ahead and purge us of certain sins. But that's what we call the Averos Kalos, right? The sins of lesser severity. But the real sins, you know, like the juicy ones, you know, those imamish have to do tshuva for. Those ultimately, again, even Yom Kippur by itself cannot atone for. And even Yom Kippur is a biblical day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu endows with Kiddusha. How do we understand this dynamic on Lag BaOmer, the Yahrzeit of Rashbi? So I'll share with you something amazing. There's something else that happened on Lag BaOmer with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai more than just his death. It's not just the pshat that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai died on Lag BaOmer. Something else happened. Take a look at number four. This is a quote from the Zohar. So the Zohar writes so profoundly. It says, "Kach ne'amar b'Zohar chilek gimel dafresh tzadikal hom beiz lamadnu ba'osa yom sheratze Rabbi Shimon lehistalik min ha'olam." On that day, when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai realized that he was going to have to leave the world, v'haya misader dvarov. He was literally, Masad Devar means he was arranging things. He wanted to leave the world. Great people who are given the privilege of knowing that their life is coming to an end are able to get their affairs in order before they leave this world, right? The first written example we have of this was who? Was Yaakov Avinu, right? All of Parshas Vayechi, or most of Parshas Vayechi, is Yaakov Avinu getting his family in order before he left the world. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai realizes he's going to leave the world. So what does he do? Get ready for this. I'm in the second line, number four. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai gathers his son Rabbi Elazar as well as a couple of other close talmidim. I'm Rabbi Shimon. Hine ato shas rotzon hi. Rabbi Shimon says, I'm about to leave this world, and therefore it's an auspicious time. Listen to these words. I don't want to be embarrassed when I come to the world to come. Rabbi Shimon Bar-Yochai speaking. I don't want to feel embarrassment when I have to face HaKadosh Baruch Hu to account for my life. There are pieces of Torah that I have that I have never revealed to anyone until this moment. I'm four lines in, right after the period of number four. And he wrote, "Selegalos lifnei Ashchina." Line number five. Shelo yomru shebechisaron nistalakti mina olam vaat atoy nistaron belibi kedei likhanis laolam haba. Rosh Hashanah says, "I have had aspects of Torah that I've kept with me all of these years that I have not revealed to anyone, and now that I'm about to leave this world, I have to teach it to all of you." I have to teach it to you. The kachani misadra eschem. And ultimately, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai arranges. Everyone has a specific task. Rabbi Abba yichtov, Rabbi Abba, you are to be the scribe. Write down every word I say. Rabbi Elazar yimol bepeh. Rabbi Elazar, I want you to repeat the teachings after me. I'm going to say it. You're going to repeat it. Ushara chaverim yidovavu bilibam. And the rest of you, I just want you to think and to contemplate the words I'm saying. Acher shegila. So what happens after this? What happens? So ultimately, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai reveals to them what becomes known as the Torah's Hanistar, hidden Torah, Idra Zuta, Idra Rabbah, which today we colloquially call Zohar, Kabbalah, Jewish mysticism. So ultimately, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai reveals to them, again, the two specific names, what's called the Idra Zuta, the Idra Rabbah. The smaller teaching, the longer teaching, these are the first elements of what we call Zohar. Right? What we call later on Kabbalah. Rabbi Shimon reveals this to them on the day of his death. He goes on. So the section then goes on where everybody's getting confused. There's a fire coming down from the heavens. Now I'll tell you something amazing. What's of course considered to be the hallmark sign of Lag BaOmer? The bonfire. What does the bonfire have to do? A miracle occurred, writes the Zohar, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai would not allow the sun to set until he had given over every last piece of Torah that he had in his heart. What does the bonfire do? The bonfire brings light into the darkness. A symbolism, ultimately, again, of that last day of Rabbi Yehoshua Ben Yochai's life, where he extended the daylight hours. He did not allow the sun to set until he had finished giving over every last piece of Torah. So we begin to see that Lag BaOmer is not merely significant because it is the yahrzeit of Rashbi. It's significant because Lag BaOmer fundamentally changed the trajectory of Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Yehoshua Ben Yochai changed Klal Yisrael again during his lifetime, but he forever changed Klal Yisrael on his last day of this world. Amazingly enough, seeing Jewish mysticism sometimes sounds like, you know, we think about it and we say, that's not for us. Like that, you know, I heard Chabad's offering a class on Jewish mysticism, or this, that, or Kabbalah for Dummies, or this, that. So understand, the whole movement of Chassidus was ultimately predicated on so much of Torah's Hanista, what we call the hidden Torah. Sfardim, right? So much of their culture is much more than Ashkenazim, is much more focused on so much of this Torah's Hanista. Rabbi Yehoshua Ben Yochai's teaching, and by the way, you look around today, and this is very important, there is a huge gravitation towards Hasidic teachings, towards Hasidic writings in today's day and age, a contemporary society, and not just in the Hasidic community. I mean, in all segments, it's an amazing thing. Why? Because at the end of the day, people, all right, this is just my commentary, intellectual Judaism only gets you so far. It only gets you so far. At the end of the day, if you really want to be on fire for your Yiddishkeit, your mind will not get you there. It'll be your heart. It'll be your soul. Even Rabbi Soloveitchik, right? Rabbi Yosef Toba Levi Soloveitchik was one of the greatest proponents and pillars of Torah Umado, who was an intellectual giant, a scion of the Brisker dynasty, said that one of his greatest influences in his life was his Chabad Milamid in Chaslovich, in White Russia. What did this Chabad Malama do for Rabbi Soloveitchik? You know, to tell you this story very quickly. So Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik, the Rav's father, was a Rav in Chaslovich, it was White Russia. Chaslovich was actually a very strong Chabad town. It's interesting that they picked Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik to be the Rav. So Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik sent his young son, Yosef Dov, to learn in the local cheder. The Malamed was a Chabad. So Rabbi Soloveitchik writes, he says that, you know, the Chabad Malamid, the boys would bring their Gemaras, they would open them up, then they tell the boys to close their Gemaras and open up a Tanya. And they would learn Tanya. They would learn Tanya, and when they saw Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik used to come to the Cheder, the Malamid would instruct them quickly, close the Tanyas, open up the Gemaras, and just begin to shout. Because, you know, it sounds good, you know, when you see boys of the Gemara, they begin to shout. So when did he find out that something was going on? When young Yosef Dov went to visit his grandfather, Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, and his Zayda began to test him on Baba Metzia, on Baba Kama, and the little boy knew nothing, but he knew the first six chapters of Tanya by heart. And Rabbi Soloveitchik says, I will be forever indebted to that Chabad Malamit, because he taught me the neshama of Yiddishkeit. He taught me. So you see, again, the intellect is great. It'll get you to a certain point. But where the intellect ends, that's exactly where the heart begins. And that heart is awakened through Rashbi's Torah, through Torah's Hanistar. So ultimately, again, we begin to see that Lag BaOmer is not just a yahrzeit, but Lag BaOmer is a day when a whole new body of Jewish knowledge was given over to us. It was in Rabbi Yehoshua Ben Yochai's heart all that time. Why he did not want to give it over earlier, I don't know. But he only gives it over on that last day of his life. So maybe now we begin to understand a little bit more about this day. It's not just the pshat that the memory of Rabbi Yehoshua Ben Yochai goes ahead and awakens this incredible forgiveness, this incredible auspiciousness, but maybe there's something deeper. Maybe the power of Lag BaOmer is rooted in Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's teachings. And I want to share with you two ideas from the Zohar, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's teachings, that I think really give Lag BaOmer its incredible power. If you take a look at number 7. So the Torah says, this is in the Tochacha. This is in Parshas Bichul Kosai. So the Torah writes, Va'af Gam Zos. So remember again, Torah speaks out the brachos and the klalos. the blessings and the curses, and the Tochacha is one of the most difficult sections of the Torah to read. HaKadosh Baruch Hu explicitly spells out all the terrible and tragic events that will occur to us if we do not follow in His ways. There'll be death, there'll be destruction, there'll be gullus, dispersion. But look what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in number 7. V'afkam zos biyosem be'eretz ayvehem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but even when I exile you, and you are in the land of your enemies, lo ma'astim v'lo ga'altim l'chalosam, I will not despise them, nor will I reject them to annihilate them. L'chalosam, to annihilate them. L'hafer b'si'itam, I will not break my covenant with them. Ki ani Hashem Elokeihem, because I am Hashem, their God. So here, a ray of light in the middle of a very dark chapter, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu spells out all of the terrible calamities and tragedies that will befall us if we do not follow His ways, be it in the midst of HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but don't worry. Even if I punish you, and even if I patch you, and even if I send you into Golus, I will never break my covenant with you. I am Hashem, your God. That relationship will always remain there, no matter what you do or don't do. Look what the Zohar writes. So Rav Shlomo Ben-Achai teaches us, this is in number 8. And I wanted to give you the text. This is actually... There's a beautiful commentary on the Zohar called Masok Midvash, right? So Masok Midvash is a translation / commentary on the Zohar. So that's why you'll see there's two forms of print over here. There's the block print, which are the actual words of the Zohar, and the smaller print, which is the explanation. So I want to show you this incredible piece. Look in the right hand side paragraph. This is the Zohar in Parashas Bichukosai. Am Rabbi Chiyah Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Chiyah Rabbi Yosi. Ano Shmano. Mila Chadita do Amar Rabbi Elazar. I heard a beautiful and novel new explanation advanced by Rabbi Elazar. Lo ma'astim v'lo ga'altim l'chalosam. On this pasuk, lo ma'astim v'lo ga'altim l'chalosam. Literally translated, I will not despise them, nor will I reject them. Lo ma'astim, despise, ga'altim, reject, l'chalosam. I will not destroy them. So comes along the Zohar and advances an incredibly beautiful and new idea. Skip to the left-hand paragraph. The Zohar gives a mashal. This is a beautiful mashal. Lebarnash dirachim yisisa. It's a mashal about a man who fell in love with a woman. Mashal adam sha'av isha. V'havas daira b'shuka deborsiki. But where did this young lady live? She lived in the tanner's market. Now, if you've ever been to a tannery, right? The smell is overpowering. So a young man falls in love with a young lady, but where does she live? She lives in the market tannery, right? In the tannery market, right? She lives in the tannery market. So what happens? Ilo havis hitaman, lo ayil be'la'amin. If this young lady did not live in the tannery market, this young man would never step foot in this place. However, what happens? Kevan dihitaman, but since this young lady lives in this place and he has strong feelings for her, damo be'enoi kishuka derochli. For him, it'll be just as fragrant as the perfumer's market. So, right? What the Zohar says is when you're in love, you hear the birds chirping, everything smells beautiful, and everything is fantastic. He would never be caught dead in this place if there wasn't a girl there. But now there's a girl there that he likes, and mamish, just like stepping into the perfumer's market. So listen to how beautiful this is. You know, when you walk into the perfumer's market, every beautiful scent that you could imagine, ultimately you're able to find there. So says that, just like the young man when he falls in love with the woman, if she lives in the tanner's market, it smells terrible, I would never be there. But if that's where my beloved lives, then ultimately not only will I go, and not only will I not smell the foul odor, but what? Everything will smell beautifully fragrant and wonderful. What's the nimshal? What's the message? Get ready for this. Left-hand paragraph, second paragraph. Of hacha. Says over here in our pasuk, "Va'afkam zos biyosam be'eretz ayvehem." HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, there will be a time when ultimately you will find yourself in the land of your enemies. Di'ihu shuka debursiki. That is like the tanner's market. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, there are times that you, Klal Yisrael, are going to be in the tanner's market of humanity. You're going to be in some pretty bad places. You're going to be subject to some pretty bad circumstances. Diyushuki de Borsiki. But yet, despite all that, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Lo ma'astim v'lo ga'altim. I will never find you repulsive and I will never reject you. Why? Lechalosam. Look what the Zohar writes. See, we translate lechalosam as, I will not destroy you. The Zohar says it means something different. Hainu, begin kalosam. Lechalosam is not to be read as lechalosam, says the Zohar, but rather, lechalosam. Why? Because we are the kala of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because we are the bride, we are the beloved of the Ribono Shel Olam. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no matter where you go, no matter where you are, either because I put you there or because you get yourself into some pretty bad spots, even if you're in the midst of the tanner's market, you're in the most horrible, horrific, and offensive circumstances, lechalosam, I will never reject you. Do you know why? Because you're my kala. Because I love you. Because I care about you. And when you're in love, you go wherever your beloved is, no matter what the circumstances around you. Begin kalasam. Bishvil hakalo shalahem shiashchina. Da'ana rachim nala. Shani ohevosa. Di'i rechimso dinafshay shayet manshi. Oheves nafshi. Hanimtse shamimahem. So isn't this beautiful? Says the Zohar. We read this pasuk ultimately as telling us that God is making a promise not to destroy us. That's true. But the pasuk is saying something even more profound, which is, not only will I not destroy you, I will never stop loving you. I will never stop loving you. No matter where you are, and even though your circumstances at the end of the day are less than optimal, and I, God, would have the right to say, I should not dwell within your midst, I will never leave you. Even if you find yourself in the circumstantial tanner's market, I will be right there with you. And together, we'll make something beautiful out of your circumstances. The Zohar teaching us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an unconditional love for us. This is such, I know it sounds simple, and we say it often, but do you know how many Jews walk through life with a conception that if you do what God wants, He'll love you. If you don't do what God wants, He won't love you. And that is unequivocally false. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only entity in this world that is capable of unconditional love. You know, we like to say parents love their kids unconditionally. Just between us. It's not true, right? It's not true. Parents do not love their kids unconditionally. That is absolutely not true. You could conjure up something in your mind that if your children were to do, would be so horrific, would be so horrible, that I don't know that I could love that child anymore. I'm always connected to that child. It's not true. Human relationships always have a breaking point. In a marriage, it's true. With siblings, it's true. With parents, it's true. And with children, it's true. There is only one entity in this universe that is capable of saying that it emotes unconditional love, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Isn't this the greatest message of inspiration? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and loves us unconditionally, even if I'm in the tanner's market, even if I'm in Eretz Oyveihem, lo ma'ga'altim v'lo ma'astim l'chalosam, I will always be the kala of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, interestingly enough, it doesn't say the spouse. It doesn't say the spouse, right? Why doesn't it say the spouse? Everyone knows the answer to this one, right? Because at the end of the day, amazingly enough, as much as one would think that when there's marriage and there's a physical relationship, there's a stronger bond, which is absolutely true, there's a different relationship, there's a certain excitement and energy that exists in that courting period that is just different in marriage. It's just different. It's a function of living with someone, right? It's a function of always being together. There's a certain energy. There's a certain butterflies in your stomach when you're about to see that person. There's a certain excitement that exists there. So the Medor doesn't say, Kadosh Baruch Hu is our husband, doesn't say, Kadosh Baruch Hu is our wife. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Klal Yisrael, you're my kala. You're my kala. There will always be that excitement when I see you. There will always be that love when I see you. And it doesn't matter where you are. And it doesn't matter what you're doing. I want you to behave. I want you to do the right thing. Remember again, love does not mean it's very important. When you love someone, it doesn't mean that there aren't repercussions to their actions. You love your children very much, but you have to go ahead and punish them when they do something wrong. Otherwise, they do not grow up in a healthy way. Love has consequences. But just because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to punish you, don't think for a second that means that the love is not there. The Zohar teaches us this incredible and overwhelming life lesson that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us unconditionally. L'chalosam does not mean to destroy, but rather, again, it means l'chalosam. We are always connected to our Kala, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always connected to His Kala, Klal Yisrael. So you may ask, but why does that work? Why does that work? I don't understand. People do bad things. We do bad things. In any life relationship, if you do enough bad stuff, the relationship comes to an end. So why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu different? So here's another teaching from the Zohar. Take a look at number 9. This is Zohar. Parshas Mishpatim. So the Zohar says over here, like this. The Zohar begins with an introduction. In the right-hand paragraph, the first line. V'chevon shepaga saba ba'avon b'inyan ha'tshuva. Pasach lidrosh bava amar. Tenina le mila ba'alma dekaimalon kame tshuva. So the Zohar is describing a discussion that happened between the rabbis. Let's talk about tshuva. Let's talk about tshuva. Lamanu she'in davar ba'olam ha'omid lefnei ha'tshuva. There is nothing that stands in the way of tshuva. Nothing that stands in the way of tshuva. Ulechula kud shabrichu mekabel vaday. Not only that, there is no such thing as a tshuva that is rejected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whenever a Jew wants to come back home, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never says no. And by the way, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu does say no, we have a couple of recorded examples of that. We know that what? He doesn't mean it. He doesn't mean it. He's just testing resolve. There is no such thing as a child who wants to come home. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says no. Even the greatest Rasha does tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will receive him. V'i tav biti yufta ha'izdamin lekabli arachayim. M'sha b'tshuva harei mezuman lefanav derech ha'kedusha shi derech ha'chayim. And if you want to do tshuva and start again, and if you want to do tshuva and start your life over, and you want to do tshuva and remake yourself, that opportunity is available to anyone and everyone. Skip to the left-hand paragraph for just a moment. So the Zohar says, lest you think I'm making this up. So the Zohar brings down the episode in Sefer Yirmiyahu regarding the king Yechonyo. Right, so Yechonyo Melech Yehuda. So the Zohar quotes the pasuk that says, Chai, I'm in the left-hand paragraph, second line in. Dichsev Sha'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chai Ani Nu'um Hashem, Imiye Kanyahu. So listen to this. The pasuk says, God says, this is Yirmiyahu HaNavi telling over what God said, God swore that Yechonyo will not live. Will not live. Not only that, but if take a look, skip, keep your finger where we are in number 9, but go to number 10 for just a moment. Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, Kamar Hashem, Kisvu es ha'ish hazeh ariri gever. Lo yitzlach biyomav, ki lo yitzlach mizaro ish yoshev ha'kisei David Moshe al biyuda. Said the Lord, inscribe this man childless, a man who will not prosper in his days. For no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting on the throne of David or ruling anymore. Without getting into the whole story, Yechonyo had messed up so badly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed. This was God making a definitive declarative statement. Yechonyo will not have children. Yechonyo will not succeed. Yechonyo, I've despised him from being the king. I'm done with him. Says the Zohar. If you look a little bit later on in Navi, skip down a few lines, the left-hand paragraph, about 5 lines in Uksiv. I'm sorry, Uksiv. Ubasar tiyufta. It's 5 lines up from the bottom now. Uksiv, Ubasar desab tiyufta. But yet, Yechonyo did tshuva. Yechonyo did tshuva. And what do you find after Yechonyo did tshuva? Ksiv, ubnei Yechonyo aser shaltiel bino. The Navi goes on to describe what? The children of Yechonyo. God said, Yechonyo is going to die childless. God said, Yechonyo, I'm done with you. And just a few psukim later, we find ultimately again the Navi recounting to us the offspring, the generations of Yechonyo. What do you see from here? Mikan, the tshuva mitaber, kama gizrin vidinin. From here you see that tshuva has the ability to break even the strictest of divine edicts. Shal shelo in de parzelo, even if a person is chained with iron chains, which is a reference to the harshness of the decrees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to us, v'les man kane t'tiyuvta. Ultimately, again, there is no one that could prevent the Baal Tshuva ultimately from returning back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think that these two pieces are very much linked. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have unconditional love for us? Why? It's important to... So the simple answer is, who cares, right? What matters is, he does. But it's interesting to try to understand, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu love me unconditionally? Most of us have difficulty loving ourselves unconditionally because I know the things that I do and I know the mistakes that I make and I'm angry at myself and I'm upset at myself. I don't love myself unconditionally because you know my shortcomings. HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only knows my shortcomings, but what? He knows the shortcomings that I don't even know about, right? There's a whole host of stuff that I don't even realize I'm doing wrong, but I'm actually doing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows about all that stuff also. He knows my actual shortcomings and the shortcomings I don't know about, and yet he still loves me. Why? Because the Kaddish Baruch Hu sees within each of us the ability to be better. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees within each of us the ability to become great. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't simply see us for who we are. He sees us for who we have the ability to become. Do you know, sometimes the greatest frustration that a parent faces is when you see your child making a mistake. And you know, there's that parental moment where you could either swoop in, prevent the mistake, or you have to realize that, you know what? Part of growing up is making mistakes in life. And they'll make the mistake, they'll fall down, and they'll get back up and they'll be fine. But it pains a parent, because I know what my child could be. I know who my child is. I know the capabilities. But yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that in each of us. The reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us unconditionally is not because of some incredible, just divine, magnificent chesed. That's part of it. But because the Kaddish Baruch Hu sees that even within the worst sinner is an awesome, immeasurable capability to be good, to be holy, that hasn't been actualized. Things that we can't see in one another. Things that we can't see in ourselves. But yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to see deeply into our souls and into our hearts. And is able to see all of that goodness that is there. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us unconditionally. And that's why even at the end of the day, if he gets angry and he says something, that decree is overturnable, right? That decree is negatable, not because we're overpowering God, but because God himself understands. I'm saying this to you now for where you are holding. But find your greatness, find your holiness, find your inner beauty, and you could become something magnificent. You can become something special. This is what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is teaching us. This was the gift of the Zohar. Look, with, and by the way, this is only two pieces from the Zohar. But look how powerful these two gifts from Rashbi. Look what he gave us on his last day of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you unconditionally. Why? Because God doesn't simply see you for who you are. God sees you for who you can be. And the person you can be is magnificent. The person you could be is holy. The person you could be is spiritually luminescent. We look in the mirror and we see ourselves for who we are. The world looks at us, sees us for who we are. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could look at us and see us for who we can be. And when he sees that image of who we can be, that triggers ultimately an incredible, unbreakable love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us. I'll show you where Rashbi also highlights this. Take a look at number 12. There's an amazing Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara here is talking about Ben Sorer Umora. Who's the Ben Sorer Umora? The rebellious child. Right? What does the rebellious child do on a very simple level? He goes ahead and he steals money from his parents and he purchases meat and wine. That's what he does. So the Torah says, what do we do with the Ben Sorer Umora? What do we do with him? We execute him. We execute a child. We execute the Ben Sorer Umora. So the Gemara is very bothered by this. Number 12. The Gemara says, Tanya Rabbi Yosef Lili Omer, V'chi mipnei sha'achal zeh tartimar basar v'shasa chatzi lug yayin ha'italki. Amra Torah yetzi lebezdin lisakel. I don't understand. Because this kid stole money and used it to purchase meat and drink wine, we're going to kill him? Or is the Gemara saying, seems a bit severe. Seems a bit severe. Clearly not good, right? Clearly not good. Certainly we're going to frown upon such behavior. The child needs help. But at the end of the execution in a basin for stealing money and purchasing meat and drinking wine, says the Gemara, Elo, Higia Torah l'sof daito shaben sora mora. The Torah knows what the ben sora umora is going to become. We don't execute him for what he is now. We execute him for what he's going to become. What is he going to become? Shesof megamer nichse aviv umavaki shlimuda ve'inamotze. A child like this who is exhibiting this type of behavior at such a young age, he's not going to stop. He's going to burn through his parents' money. And after he finishes burning through his parents' money, what's going to happen? V'yotzei leparshas drachim umelastem esabrios. When he finishes his parents' money, what is he going to do? What is he going to do? He's going to steal. He's going to steal. He's going to resort to a life of crime. And that crime is going to put other people in harm's way. He is going to become a detriment to society. So what does the Torah say? Amra Torah, yamos zakai va'al yamos chayiv. Let's execute him now. Let's execute him now while he's still somewhat innocent and not wait till he really deserves it later on in life for objectively, for hurting people and negatively impacting society. An incredibly dramatic Gemara. Go to number 11 now. Amar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai asked this same question. V'chi mipnei she'achal zeh tartimar basar v'shasa chatzi lug yayin ha'italki. Avi v'imo sin oso disakel. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai asked the same question. Great Rashbi. Is it possible that because this kid stole some money, a lot of money, and using it for gluttonous pursuits, like eating meat and drinking wine, that we're going to execute him? Ella, listen to these words. These are shown by Yochai. Lo haya v'lo asid lios. There was never a ben sorer umore, and there will never be a ben sorer umore. So what does that mean? If it never was, never going to be, so why is it written in the Torah? Drosh v'kabel schar. So we could learn it and get reward for Torah learning. Rosh Hashanah says, lo haya v'lo asid lios. Never happened, never will happen. But now we understand. Because what's Rashbi? Who is the Ben Sora Mora? Right? What is Ben Sora Mora? Ben Sora Mora is someone with a fated existence. What are we saying? You're acting this way now, and therefore what? That is a definitive indicator that what? That this is who you are, and this is who you're going to be in the future. Says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, false. False. There's no such thing like that in life. There is no such thing as a fated existence. There is no such thing as saying, this is who I am, this is who I'm going to be, this is who I have to be. There is no such concept like that in Yiddishkeit, says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. We just learned in the Zohar Parashas Mishpatim, Yechaniah was decreed that he's going to die childless, and yet, he Baruch Hashem, he saw children, grandchildren. Why? He did tshuva. Change is always possible. You see what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says? Is the dynamic of Ben Sora Umora says that what? Says that what? Change is impossible. If this is the way you are as a young man, and these are the behaviors that you are exhibiting now as a young man, then we could predict exactly how your life is going to turn out. If at the age of 12, you're stealing money to eat meat and drink wine, you will be a highway bandit. You will be a bad guy. You are going to steal. You are going to murder. You are going to maim. You are a detriment to society. Let's get you out of the picture now. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, false. We don't believe in that. We don't believe that the indicators of my present life is a definitive indicator for how I have to be in the future. Why? Because I have the koach of tshuva. I have the koach of change. Maybe I have been a certain way for a prolonged period of time. That does not mean I have to stay that way going forward. Just because my past and my present look a certain way does not mean that I don't have the power to change the look of my future. The Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai literally says, Ben Sora Mora, Lo Haya, Follow us, Elias. Never happened, never will happen. It's an exercise in the theoretical. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us something like this? It's called Torah Lishma. I'm learning Torah for the sake of learning Torah. There is no practical application ultimately of this halacha because it never occurs. Here is the gift that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai gave to us on this day, on tomorrow, thousands of years ago. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai gave us the Torah Hanister, gave us the Idra Zuta, gave us the Idra Rabba, that teaches us many things, but I would be so bold to say that I think two of the most important lessons contained in this beautiful body of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai gave to us, you have on your source sheet in Sources 8 and Sources 9. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us unconditionally. Why? Because He sees within us boundless potential. He doesn't see us for who we are, He sees us for who we can become. And if we would only find the courage to tap into our inner greatness, each of us can make, remake, and reforge our identities into anyone we want to be, and create ultimately a personalistic reality the way we want it. You often can't choose, well, not too often, we know, very often you can't choose your life circumstances. You always choose the person you want to be. Your identity, your persona, who you are, don't blame your mother. Don't blame your father. Don't blame your second grade teacher. Don't blame your daughter-in-law because she doesn't call enough. Right? Don't blame your son because he doesn't write. That kids don't give you enough. Who you are is up to you. And that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, that koach is ours. Make and remake yourself as many times as you want. Ben Sora Remora, Lo Haya, Velo Asid Lios. And now if we bring this full circle, I think that at the end of the day, this is the simcha of Lag BaOmer. The simcha of this day is, yes, Rabbi Akiva's students stopped dying, which again is good because it gave Rabbi Akiva the opportunity to begin to rebuild. But it's also, it's Lag BaOmer is a simcha because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's yard site. But I don't think it's the yard site that's the essence. I think it's at the end of the day what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai did on his yard site. That on the day that he left the world, he gave us these lessons of hope, these incredible optimistic insights and outlooks that fuel our dynamic growth to this very day. On the day that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, remember what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said? He said, and this, now we go back also one more moment, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, Yochol ani lifter as kol ha'olam kulam min hadin. Right, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, I can exempt the entire world from judgment. So some of you wrinkled your brows when we said that. How could that be? What, a little bit arrogant? Now you understand what he's saying. I could exempt the entire world from judgment. How? He wasn't talking about his own merits. What was he saying? If only they would listen to my teachings and realize that they have the ability to make and remake themselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would absolve us of all our iniquity and all of our punishments. We just have to be brave enough to be willing to reforge and remake our identities. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was not extolling his own personal virtue. He was saying, I have given Klal Yisrael the tools necessary to remake themselves. And all HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do is to try harder, to try better, to try more often. That's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. And said Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, if Klal Yisrael would do that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would absolve us of all of our averos. This is the power of Lag BaOmer. It was on this day, or say tomorrow, thousands of years ago, that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai gave us many, many, many life lessons, but two of which fundamentally alter the fabric of our day-to-day lives. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us unconditionally because He sees us for who we are. Excuse me. He doesn't see us just for who we are, but for who we can be. If only we had the koach and the courage to do the same, to stop defining ourselves just by the image that looks back, which is a composite of multiple decades of decision-making, and to say, just because I've been a certain way up until now doesn't mean I can't be different, I can't be better, I can't be holier going forward. That's the Simcha of Lag BaOmer. But you'll ask, why is the Lashon of the Rama, why did the Rama say, Umar ben bo kitzas Simcha? Why the kitzas? Because at the end of the day, Lag BaOmer is a day that is ripe and auspicious for change. So many possibilities, so many opportunities. But you know what the sad reality is? Most of us don't seize our opportunities. Most of the time, we don't take the opportunities which present themselves. Most of the time, we're too hung up on defining ourselves by our present and our past mistakes and failures that we forget the teaching of the Zohar and Parshas Mishpatim, that if Yechanyo Melech Yehuda could turn it around, I could turn it around as well. So says the Rama, there's an element of the human tragedy on this day. The human tragedy, well, although we have the koach, we have the ability to reinvent ourselves, the sad truth is, most of us don't. So to say it's a day of complete simcha, That would be disingenuous. It's mar bimbo kitzas simcha. There will be some who will tap into the power of this day, who will tap into the powers of Rashbi, who will tap into the teachings of Rashi, and to say, you know what? Lag ba'omer, it's my Yom Kippur. It's my Rosh Hashanah. I'm starting new. The same way that the Madura, the fire, reinvents itself. The fire never flickers the same way moment after moment. The fire always looks different. It's always blowing in a different direction. This flame goes high, this flame goes low. The next minute, the fire is constantly evolving and changing. Today is my day, but I'm going to evolve and change as well. Mar bin bo kitzas simcha. But the reality is most people are either change averse or are scared of change. So they just simply settle back into their regular rhythms. And sometimes people even make the terrible mistake of saying, of course change is necessary. You change, you change, you change, you change. I'm perfectly fine where I am. Says the Rama, kitzas simcha. Halavai, we'll get to the day where it's a full-blown simcha, a fiery simcha. But this is the power of Lag BaOmer. So we should be Zolcha Meretz Hashem. Over the course of this day, over the course of this day, give me one more minute. Wherever you have to go, wait a minute. It's worth it. I cannot say enough about that. I've only given you a glimpse into the power, ultimately, again, of Lag BaOmer. A glimpse, a 62-minute glimpse into the power of Lag BaOmer. But understand the cathartic nature of this day. Rashbi changed the world. He changed our people. He changed our destiny on this day. We may not be able to change the world, and we may not be able to change the destiny of Klal Yisrael, but on this day of Lag BaOmer, we definitely have the koach to change ourselves. May we be zochem miras Hashem to tap into this power, to take advantage of the new beginning, and to make something great. Amen.